Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Electronics Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikash Singh from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all on Bharat Electronics Q2 FY26 results conference call. I would like to thank the management to give us the opportunity to host them. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Manoj Jain, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Damodar Bhattacharya, Director of Finance and CFO, and his team. Without taking any much time, I hand it over to Manoj Ji for his opening remark. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. So here is the financial highlight for H1, means up to Q2 for financial year 25-26. So this H1, we have achieved revenue from operation. We have increased it to rupees 10,180 crore as compared to rupees 8,782 crore up to Q2 of last year, with a growth of 15.92%. Profit before tax, that has increased to rupees 3,023 crore up to Q2 of this year, as compared to comparable period of last year, rupees 2,488 crore, with a growth of 21.51%. Profit after tax, that has increased to rupees 2,255 crore up to Q2, as compared to rupees 1,867 crore up to Q2 last year, with a growth of 20.77%. EBITDA has increased to 30.15% as compared to 27.26% up to Q2 last year. Earnings per share, that is increased to rupees 3.09 up to Q2 of 25-26, as compared to rupees 2.55 up to Q2 of last year. The order book position as on 1st October 2025 is rupees 74,453 crore, and as on today, it has become rupees 75,600 crore. Orders acquired till 1st October 2025 in this financial year is rupees 12,539 crore, and till today, it is rupees 14,750 crore. So overall, across all financial parameters, we have registered good growth, and the company is having plans to sustain whatsoever guidance we had given at the year beginning. That is a brief financial highlight of H1 25-26.
Hello?
Our highlights are over. We can start questions and interactions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dipen from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my first question is on your order book side, sir. Sir, can you tell us as to, so right now we are having an EBITDA margin of close to around, say, 28%-29%. So what kind of execution are we focusing on that the EBITDA margin continues to remain high, and do we expect it to sustain on the similar levels going ahead as well?
Certainly. Although product mix for H1 and product mix for H2 is more or less similar, and as we told earlier, also product mix has more than 350 main equipment, and sub-equipment and line items are more than 1,000 plus. So we are totally diversified in different functional areas of defense electronics. So as such, because of this product mix, for us, we are feeling H1 and H2 may not have too much changes. So EBITDA margins will remain more or less similar, and what we guidance we have given, more than 27% EBITDA, we are confident to achieve by the year end.
Got it, sir. So my second question is on the line of, sir, what are the, so currently the emergency procurement orders are expected, as well as some large product value items are also expected in second half. So can you give us an idea as to what all orders are in the advanced stages of finalization, which we can expect in second half?
Certainly. As we told last quarter also that we were expecting a good number of emergency procurement orders. So finally, we have received already some 11 orders, emergency procurement orders worth around 1350 crore. And around 2000 crore worth of emergency procurement orders are in pipeline where PNCs are concluded, and we are expecting it mostly by next 2 weeks. So we will get. So this is about the emergency procurement order. Our other main orders which are in pipeline, we have told QRSAM, we are hopeful, fully confident that before March we may get QRSAM order. We have already submitted our RFP response, etc. So cost audit and other activities as per the procedure is going on, and we are confident of achieving that by our March. But in addition to QRSAM, the Shatrughat Samaghat projects, the NGC related, next generation corvette related subsystems orders from shipyards, additional LCA 97 number order from HAL for our avionics packages, Shakti, GBMES, Mountain Radar, Hammer, like that, these all orders, big orders are in pipeline, which will definitely make our overall score, what we committed to you, 27,000 crore. So we are confident we will definitely achieve more than 27,000 crore order book, order received in this financial year, other than QRSAM.
Got it, sir. Last question, sir. So right now in your order book, so the last contract, top 10 or top 12 projects contribute how much of your current order book? So mainly LRSAM, fuses, Akash missile system, etc.
How much of the order book is pending of these orders, or what is your question?
Yes, pending order book.
The order book as on 1/10/25, 1st October 25, LRSAM is around 5,000 crores, electronic fuses are around 4,500 crores, BMP-2 upgrade is 3,000 crores, Akash Army 2,700 crores. So all this put together, top 7 orders we have got the list right now. It comes to around 25,000 crores. Top 7 orders constitute 25,000 crores. Of the 1st October order, around 74,000.
Got it, sir. Sir, thank you so much for answering my questions, and all the best for second half.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Dixit from GS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Couple of questions from my side. The first one is on Project Kusha Sudarshan Chakra, where we are on the project where is the development going, and when can we expect, you know, some kind of order from this particular project?
Mr. Dixit, can you please be a little louder?
Yeah.
I could read, no issue. So our voice was sufficient for to reach our ears. So I will just briefly tell you. The project Kusha is a DRDO program, as told earlier also to you, and we are the development partner for DRDO for major subsystems of Kusha program, mainly related to radar and control. So these radar and control system, there are some 3 type of radars and 2 type of control and communication centers, then launcher, support vehicles, etc. So these radar related prototype development we are doing right now jointly with the LRD, who is the DRDO partner from radar point of view. Overall program is handled by DRDL. So with DRDL, we are discussing control center and communication system related modules. So these 5 major modules of this program are under the prototype development stage right now. Then it will be followed by system integration, and then only trials, integrated trials will be planned by DRDO, where BEL will give good support to them. So I feel these all trials, etc., after the prototype development which will take prototype development itself will take another one more year for us. And then integration, testing, trials, and then afterwards it goes into the so-called production phase, I should say. So we are expecting order by December 2029, the first production order for us. Because right now it is, that way is a prototype developmental order which we have received. So from prototype development order to the real big production order worth hopefully more than QRSAM order we are expecting. But that we are expecting by December 29 time frame.
That's very helpful, sir. The second question is on the actually the recent AON that was issued of around 79,000 crores. So there were various, you know, platforms, etc. over there, as well as some electronic systems. So just wanted to get an idea that what could be the approximate share for BL in that 79,000 crores?
Because it is at AON stage itself only, it has not become RFPs. And RFPs also are going, some of the RFPs we will receive directly, like GBMES project RFP, we are receiving directly, we are going to receive. But other RFP will be received by other system integrator and we will get electronic share of that. So as such, we cannot give you quantified figure, but out of this AON, 3 to 4 main leads or main products of BEL will be there in that. So we can expect of the order of 10,000 crore worth of items we may get orders, but the order may not come directly from user, it may come from system integrator also. So of the order of this tune, I hope we will get one or two only will be direct orders, but remaining will be indirect orders to us.
Okay, sir, so that's very helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. I request each participant to ask two questions only, as there are many participants left in the queue. The next question is from the line of Umesh Raut from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. Congratulations for a very good set of numbers. So my first question is pertaining to order inflow guidance of 27,000 crore excluding QRSM for FY26. So in that order inflow guidance, are we assuming any orders from next generation Corvette or from avionics packages related to recent ordering for light combat aircraft?
Certainly, yes. As I told, in this NGC partial orders, because overall NGC has so many BEL components, but some of the components orders we are expecting around 4,500 crore worth of orders this financial year we are expecting from NGC overall program, and remaining orders maybe worth around 8 to 10,000 crore worth we may get in the next year only, because configuration and other finalizations are going on for that. The nitty-gritty is being worked out for those subsystems still. So, and LCA, so we are expecting in another one and a half month, hopefully we will get from HAL this order for avionics package for all the items for this 97 aircraft order. That may be around 2,500 crore plus minus something.
Understood, sir. Sir, my second question is on AMCA program. Now that you have a collaboration with L&T in terms of participating in RFI, so essentially I just want to understand how your scope would be different than the program like LCA or say helicopter programs. What kind of supply you does right now to HNL? So how the scope would be kind of different in case of AMCA? Can we assume relatively far higher share in terms of addressable market if you get AMCA contract in terms of say development program?
Yeah, certainly that is our calculated strategic move from only supplying electronics for helicopters or LCA type of program. Can we go higher level integration or higher level value addition in airborne platforms? So AMCA we found as first big opportunity, and that's why we tied up with L&T, and as a consortium we have already given RFI response for that, and we are hopeful to qualify and further may get orders also. Definitely we are aiming for that. There our role will be not only supplying this avionics or electronics portion, but system integration, aircraft integration, testing, validation, and that type of a role, which is as a platform, aircraft as a platform. That role we wanted to increase our role in that type of a program. So for MCA or UAV type of programs, we wanted to have our value addition increase from our traditional electronic modules to systems level contribution.
Understood. And what if in a scenario, suppose other consortium gets that contract, do you think you can supply avionics packages or other packages to those consortiums in AMCA program?
Definitely yes, because this program is driven by DRDO. ADA is the lead agency for that. And we, because for last 20 plus or 30 plus years of association with them at R&D level, we are developing many modules or many subsystems related to electronics for ADA. So these subsystems will be taken by all consortium. Whosoever wins this program, these modules order has to come through BEL only, because we have proven capability for that, and we have already developed or developing these prototypes jointly with ADA and ADE. So these modules share anyway will be there with us. But as I told, we wanted to go up the value chain by providing system level solution also, or system integration related expertise also we wanted to develop in this critical segment. And that's why we have done this consortium based approach of bidding also.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the very best. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Pandey from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question would be on QRSAM. So, once the order is received, what would be the execution timeline, sir? 3 to 4 years? Is that a fair assumption?
No, it is a bit more, because program is very complex, first thing. Second thing, we wanted to do one more round of detailed evaluation. We call it a first of production module, trials oblique evaluation. So we wanted to do jointly with our user, FOPM trials also. So because of that trial, to prove some more cutting edge extra features, etc., whether they are really matured for production phase or not, because you know earlier phase was a prototype phase. So prototype phase to production phase, when we go for bigger programs, we generally add FOPM stage. So in this program also there is an FOPM stage. Because of that, the overall program schedule will be around 5 to 6 years of total execution time for the this program.
Understood, sir. Okay, so the second question was on the DAC approval. So apart from the 79,000 crore, there were other two approvals as well this year. So other two set of approvals. So possible to share what could be, the size where BEL could be in play for from the other two as well, that total to around, I think, 1.4 lakh crore, 1,40,000 crores.
Definitely in that, the biggest program was QRSAM only, of course. But other than QRSAM, Shatrughat, Samaghat, and so many other projects were there which were included in that. And so many other naval ship programs where the shipbuilders will back end give orders to us. So overall, out of all the three, if we include QRSAM also, it is definitely more than 50,000 crore worth of orders we are expecting for BEL.
Understood, sir. So last question would be on CAPEX. So in the media, there were reports that BEL may undertake CAPEX in Andhra Pradesh around 1,400 crores, followed by another phase of CAPEX there. Any comments on that, sir? What could this CAPEX pertain to?
Okay. Now, this has come in media also, because we had a detailed discussion with Andhra Pradesh government and we have given our commitment to them. And based on that, Andhra Pradesh government actually has given commitment on joint behalf, our and AP government behalf, to our Raksha Mantri sir also. So that is the largest investment which we are doing, and we call it DSIC. So this is Defense System Integration Complex, where we are mainly making the QRSAM program will be made out of that facility. But in addition, there will be so many other activities, other strategic business units also we are going to shift or going to operate from there, including this unmanned systems, missile systems, military radars. So those type of subsystems also will be manufactured there. But in addition, the largest thing will be this QRSAM program, system integration, testing, validation, qualification. These all related infrastructure we are going to have there. That is around 920 acre of land, and with the investment of minimum this 1400 crore which we have already committed. But if required, we are not hesitant to invest further in case other programs, other complex, bigger programs like Kusha and others comes in time. We are having good space there to do further investment if required.
Just to add to what our chairman has said, this investment will happen over a period of 3 to 4 years.
Right. Understood, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Gupta from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Great set of numbers. I have two questions. One is, I believe FY26, we should close our EBITDA margins with close to 28% plus, because that's what I've assumed considering the kind of order books you have. And second, it's actually a two-way question. One is, the recent LCA Mark 1, which was delivered to Indian Air Force, was basically sort of rejected, saying that there were some spoilers in the avionics and the radar from Israel is possibly inadequate. Does that mean that we have, since we know that the first batch of 41 LCA was supposed to have Israeli-built Elint ISA radars, so now do we stand to gain from this, that we would now be integrating our ISA radars, which of course you are actually producing? And second is, what concerns are there in the avionics part for the LCA Mark 1, which led to this kind of discomfort within the Indian Air Force for LCA Mark
1? Okay. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Voice is clear. Okay. So, EBITDA, as we are told at the year beginning, we will definitely be around or more than 27%, and we are continuously working for that by doing different type of cost optimization, indigenization. As last time also we told, we have continuously this type of activities for cost reduction, indigenization, and improving our operational efficiency. So with that, we are confident we will definitely have more than 27%. Now, coming about LCA Mark 1A. So LCA Mark 1A, as you know, program is steered by HAL, not by BEL. But BEL is very good strategic partner for HAL. And in this, all the major avionics, all the basic avionics related electronics, which is typically designed by ADA, ADE and other DRDO labs, and of course BEL also was part of design, and now BEL is the production agency for that. So these items we are supplying for LCA, and we don't have any concern on these avionics parts, because these avionics parts, full design information is available with BEL. Of course, software is jointly held by BEL and DRDO, but hardware and hardware obsolescence and everything is again spearheaded by BEL and well supported by DRDO. So there is no concern about avionics. As you have indirectly or directly hinted, sensors. The radar and EW sensors, when the program started, they were of foreign origin, but that was at that time indigenous space grade, airborne grade sensors of this variety was not available. That's why it was a joint call of DRDO and HAL to take that. And BEL was mainly in the reviewing portion, if at all. BEL was not in driving portion to select these. BEL is always in the developmental level support only, not the decision maker, because the decision maker is typically the designer, original designer is DRDO, ADA, and a production agency which is HAL. So these two only I have taken. So that's why the question actually pertains to them, what it is. But as you have told, and as a electronics professional, we also know in general that, yeah, there were some issues, and still our indigenous radar and sensors are going through final stage of trials and evaluations. And that's why at right time, a call will be taken by HAL management to replace this foreign source of sensors with the indigenous one. And that is going to happen very soon. But the final decision and final evaluation status of this indigenous sensor will be given by HAL, not by BEL.
Yeah, so that's where, because our indigenous radar is better than the Israeli-based ELINT that we have been taking, IFRS. And that's why I feel there's an opportunity for, a huge opportunity for BEL, actually, in terms of the radars. And so
no, definitely. It is BEL opportunity, but the decision of indigenous versus foreign will be taken jointly by DRDO and HAL. And the day they will take, based on all the inputs, all evaluation reports and all other things, definitely BEL will be beneficiary. I know.
Yes, absolutely. Perfect. That's an excellent answer. One more thing, sir. One last question, if I may ask. Do we see any opportunity with the resumption of India-China flights, specifically in terms of the super alloys and any special metals that we are looking from China? Does that sort of in any way improve our situations and help any kind of strategic alliance in terms of movement of these rare earth metals?
Again, we are not directly, as you well know, we are not directly dealing with rare earth metals or alloys and other things. Of course, with program like EMCA, we have to migrate finally. But today, yes. Presently, we are mainly concentrating on defense, electronic systems, subsystems and components. And this particular thing is more applicable to HAL and Midani as on today. But definitely as time progresses, as we go move closer to the total overall value addition of different subsystems for EMCA or other programs, definitely we also will be concerned about that. And on that day, I can appropriately answer your question. Today, please, this question is reserved to Midani or HAL.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That was very helpful. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you. I request each participant to ask two questions. The next question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot. So my first question is on the potential for large order inflows beyond QRSAM. So once you get QRSAM, say, by end of this year, the next one that we know of is Project Kushab, possibly by December 29. So between these two large orders, are there any other large orders of similar size that can potentially come through?
Definitely not 30 or 40,000 crore single order. As we told last time also, this 30, 40,000 type of big order comes once in 4-5 years only, because it requires that much effort to make that type of a large systems. But of course, 2,000 to 5,000 crore worth of various products or various orders are in pipeline for us for next 2 to 3 years. So those will keep on coming, but a big large program like Kusha or QRSAM, that type of a program as of now is not there in our roadmap. And without that big program also, definitely we are going to have every year 25,000 crore worth of products or new orders, where individual order may be of the order of, you can assume roughly 5,000 crore as individual orders.
Okay, so great. And then my second question is on your, you know, interest in EMCA. So would it possible to share some kind of color on, you know, what is expected from the winner here? So in terms of the capex that you will have to do to create these facilities, the kind of technology risk that you are taking. So any color, you know, on that? I mean, what, I know how much you will have to spend to build these facilities, because obviously as of now, you know, you don't have anything as far as system integration for, you know, fighter aircraft is concerned.
This point, anyway, we also debated, discussed when we took this strategic call, when we have to invest and how much we have to invest. Definitely that is a question investors also will be worried. But let me tell you, the EMCA program for the next few years, 6 to 8 years, is mainly still realizing 5 prototypes with the total support and handholding and driving by ADA. So it is ADA and this consortium partner jointly will do, and they will use all the infrastructure which is created by ADA for this purpose. So as such, for next few years, 5 to 8 years, we are not expecting big capex investment. But of course, for module, some module testing or some jigs related infrastructure, which is definitely much less than the final capex infrastructure, maybe maximum 100 to 200 crore is what we may have to do investments for jigs, etc. in the next 5 to 8 years, but no big capex is planned as per the project plan which is shared by ADA as part of the RFI. Although more clarity will come when they will evaluate all of us and then issue RFP. So RFP will further quantify this aspect, but as per RFI which has we have received and we have analyzed all of us, the capex is not expected, large capex is not expected for completion of this first phase, which is this 5 aircraft realization prototype phase.
And so just a follow up on that, when will the final winner be known and when is the first prototype expected to be rolled out?
No, that prototype already has been made in different forms and shapes by ADA. One is for RCS testing, one for some other purposes, etc. They have made. But the first real prototype based on all electronics and other subsystems as part of this program, ADA is, I think, planning in another one and a half years timeline, first prototype. And then improvisation of that, then second, then third, then fourth, then fifth. So total 5 prototypes will come out. Final timelines are actually decided by ADA, but macro level we know that, and that's why this evaluation, right now this RFI evaluation, I believe the committees are constituted and they are evaluating the proposals submitted by all of us, and it is they have to decide when they will finish this activity. We are only hoping that another 3 months to 4 months, so by March, February, March, we may expect this qualification of the RFI phase will be over. But these all are our expectations. Exact figures either ADA can tell or that committee can tell. And we are not party to that committee or not ADA.
Great. Thanks a lot for your answer. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kishore from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. My comments on the strong performance of Bharat Electronics so far this fiscal. My first question is in relation to the execution cycle of the order backlog, which seems to have contracted. So your order backlog broadly has been, has not grown over the past 18 months. Your revenue growth has persisted at mid-teen levels. This quarter was even better. So how has the nature of the contracts in backlog really changed, or is it simply better execution that you are doing, or what have led to sort of a compression of the execution? So that's the first question.
The thing is, we have evaluated all the existing contracts which we have. At the year start itself, we sit together and then plan, chalk out our plans, how we can materialize within the PDC of that, because these orders have a staggered delivery. So each order is not for 1 year. Some orders are 3 year, 4 year. In that, for this year, what is our commitment as per the contract? And we have done total planning that like whatsoever was to be supplied this March 26th, we have already put in our roadmap. Execution plans are in place. We are reviewing it periodically and we are confident that we will achieve, may not 100%, but we are aiming for 100%, but we will between 90 to 100% delivery on time we are expecting right now. And over a period of time, we finally want to make it really 100%. But as you know, electronics market, there are associated challenges related to obsolescence, related to some other issues, related to component availability especially. So because of that, some minor variations or minor surprises keeps happening for us. But that should not affect maximum 5 to 10% of our deliveries. So 5 to 10% deliveries may overspill by a few months, but as such we have planned right now all 100% of our committed timelines out of this execution orders we are going to achieve.
Okay. And you mentioned in an earlier reply that the product mix will be as favorable as it has been in H1 in H2. I mean, aside from QRSAM coming into your books, does the product mix really change in the next financial year? And how should we be thinking about, QRSAM revenue and margin booking profile as it gets executed over the next 5-6 years?
Firstly, for next year, I don't see any product mix change per se, because QRSAM next year we will only make the prototype. This prototype is again a saleable prototype, I should say. That's why it is called the first of production model. So I should not say prototype, it is a first of production model. And that first of production model will take minimum 12 months to 18 months time to realize, because it is a very, very complex system. So next year, we are not expecting any turnover or business from the QRSAM program. Next to next year only, we may be able to sell it in case we successfully complete all the FOPM trials, etc. Over a period of time, QRSAM per se is also similar to our existing product mix only. We are not having a big difference between QRSAM and other programs. So our overall product mix may not change that much, because right now also we are supplying so many type of radars, so many type of missile system like Akash, Akash Prime, Akash Export. So QRSAM will be one more feather in our cap only. So as such, product mix may not change that much, and it may not affect our other margins, EBITDA margins, etc. that much, which what we feel over a period of time. So over a period of time, overall product mix, overall diversification, overall other subsystems, etc. will make our product mix really wide enough to take care of different type of variations in one sub-segment or segment.
Very clear. So for 12 to 18 months, you may not book very meaningful revenue in QRSAM contract after you receive it.
Yeah. Because that is the FOPM realization time for us.
Very clear. Just one final clarification. The first half of the fiscal, how is your working capital and receivable days?
I request you to rejoin the queue follow-up, as there are many participants left in the queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the 8th pay commission, where the terms of reference has been approved by the government. And just wanted to understand what is your assessment with respect to the quantum increase which you guys are expecting as and when this is implemented? And will it be higher, lower than the last pay commission? Any assessment on the 8th pay commission, and which financial year we will start providing or seeing the impact of this?
Let me again clarify. Last time also, I think somebody else asked a question. 8th pay commission is not for public sectors. So it is not for us. It is for central government employees. And for us, there will be, we call it 4th PRC, because last time 3rd PRC was there. That committee recommendation will be applicable from 1/1/2027. And that PRC, again, government has not yet constituted that committee. Government will constitute a separate committee for PRC, 4th PRC, and that will give the general guidelines for public sector employees. And after they study, and there will be a lot of flexibility for individual PSU to adapt. Because we are a business entity, based on our business scenario, based on our past record, based on our profitability, based on our future growth, they are giving us a lot of flexibility to decide within the general framework. So our framework will be quite different from 8th pay commission framework. And as you have told, 8th pay commission, what expectations are there? I feel a central government employee can better guess that than we public sector employees.
Right, sir. But sir, any quantum based on your framework, how much increase can happen?
That is a wild guess. And I think as PSU employees, we should not answer that. And we don't analyze that also. Because for us, the quantum, our reference is 1127, and it is PRC. We have to only see, based on 3rd PRC to 4th PRC, what more we may get. There I can tell my wish is definitely what salaries we are getting on 1127. Maybe 10 to 15% higher salaries we are expecting minimum from that.
As far as your question on financial flows are concerned, 26-27 will be only 3 months effect from January to March, because it will be from January. From 27-28, yes, effect of repair revision will be there. But the volume growth and quantum increase in turnover will take care of all these increases what are expected to happen.
Yeah. Sir, on QRSAM, which you highlighted that it will take 18 months, and I understand that I think the three regimes and each regiment has some 72 missiles and launchers. So how the the production stage will be there after 18-24 months? Will it be like one regiment each 1.5-2 years? Some understanding on that. And what is the direct scope of work, since the missiles also, launch vehicles also, and we are integrators, I believe. So what percentage is our direct scope of work in this 30,000?
Yeah. So firstly, as you told, delivery schedules anyway will be already quantified in the RFP which has come to us. And generally it is kept so-called strategically confidential. But of course, there are two phases, as I told. One is the FOPM phase, which will take 12 to 18 months to realize. And then some evaluation time, which may be 3 months to more than 3 months. I cannot exactly quantify. After that only we will start the production. But based on the risk and business risk and need, strategic need, we generally start production-related activities for that phase also a bit higher. So overall timelines will be around 5 to 6 years, as already told. And this will have parallel production for Army and Air Force. Because as you know, the order is more or less 50-50, we can say, across Army and Air Force in this program. So production also will be parallel for both of them, so that we can start equipping Army and Air Force parallelly. That is our plan. And as you have told, yes, we are the main system integrator for this. And BDL is our main strategic partner for missiles. But other than BDL, there are 3-4 major stakeholders for us. They are providing some other subsystem, including launchers, TR modules, and other subsystems to us for integration. And major subsystems here are radars. So two type of radars are there and control centers. So those integration definitely will be done by us. Launchers, etc. Our primary aim is basic integration only, but otherwise they come. So that already in the prototype phase, we have already taken care of, and roles and responsibilities of Bell, BDL and other stakeholders is already quantified. All of them are aware of. We had already done multiple rounds of sensitization meeting with all our important stakeholders. And that's why we are fully geared up to realize FOPM. Because in FOPM also all the stakeholders have to work together and for production phase. So this sensitization to all the stakeholders already has happened. Delivery schedules, what is expected from them, etc. has been chalked out. And we are confident that once we receive the order in a time-bound fashion, which is indicated in the order, we along with our stakeholders definitely will supply in time.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations for the strong numbers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirom Kapoor from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of results. So I just want to ask about your exports. We know that that is a strategy for BEL as well. I just wanted to check specifically on, you know, our exposure to Myanmar and whether, you know, that's likely to remain well below 5% of overall revenues, and you know, it's not necessarily going to become material for the firm going ahead.
Yeah, exports, as we have told earlier also, is a slightly different ballgame because it requires different expertise, and total order realization has various other challenges, including like LC opening and other issues. So we are right now targeted 3-4% of our turnover through exports, but we are confident over a period of time in next 2 to 3 years we are definitely going to have 5%, and our long term vision is to increase it to 10% of our turnover coming from exports. Various activities are planned to increase our export portion from our overall turnover, and we are confident with those activities and those initiatives which we have taken and we are going to take. We are confident that we will be in the right path to increase percentage of our export turnover year on year, and finally touch 10%. Today we have a very good healthy order book also, around a $326 million order book is there with us, and we have very good leads also. So we are confident that whatsoever path we have laid down for our continuous year on year export growth, we are on the right trajectory, and definitely we will keep giving you better and better results on the export fronts also.
Got it, sir. Just, you know, strategically, when we do get to this, aiming for this 10% number, will, you know, a significant portion of that, you know, overall revenue 5%, could there be that kind of exposure to Myanmar as well? Just wanted to get a sense of that.
No, the thing is, for us, each and every country which is of strategic interest to us and who wants to take products from us based on the maturity of our products, we give equal priority to each and every such lead. Myanmar was also such lead where we have supplied earlier some equipments and even now also some discussions and other things are going on. But each and every country is important to us. It is nothing specific to one or second country for us. Each and every export lead, we take it very seriously. We go, present, discuss, quantify, and then see that our products goes and supports them for their initiatives.
Noted, sir. If you could just help us with the execution for 2Q and 1H that has driven, you know, your 26% growth in 2Q and overall 16% growth in 1H, which major programs have contributed in terms of execution?
For this one, total achha, major or executed till now. Okay. So this total up to Q2, major 6-7 programs contributed. So one of them topmost always in last few years is LRSAM program of Navy. Second was Himshakti. Third was our battle surveillance system for Army. Fourth was Akash Army. Fifth was LCA Mark 1A LRUs, the avionics related modules. Sixth was a Lynx U2 fire control system. And seventh was Shakti EW system. So these seven systems were the major orders which we have executed, which was worth around 4,000 crore roughly.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Aquarius Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. So firstly, could you give us an update on the Archer UAV program?
Mr. Patel, can you please be a little louder? We can't hear you properly.
No, is this audible?
Hello?
Yeah, you can continue. Yeah. Sure. Actually, voice is clearer to us to some extent more than the coordinator. So, but you continue. We are able to listen reasonable.
Please continue, sir.
Could you give us an update on the Archer UAV program and our role in that? What is the status of the program, various vendors, and the final system integrator, project size, timelines, etc.? I am asking because recently L&T has partnered with General Atomics to participate in the 87 main UAV program worth almost 30,000 crores. So will these two be the competing programs or how it will play out?
Okay. As you may be knowing, Archer program is driven by ADE and we are the nominated development cum production partner for them. And with that status and with that support, we have realized prototypes of Archer. And I think first successful trial of Archer UAV was conducted a few days back only, where it met all the parameters. And now we are in the process of refining it and seeing the market for it. Because firstly the prototype development has to be done and then only you can market. So now prototype development phase more or less is over. Formally it will be declared by ADE because we are only DCPP partner for them. But because we are DCPP partner, we know this much is the development done. A very good progress has already been done on Archer UV program. But as you may be knowing, Archer is not this male variety. The male variety, what you have hinted about L&T and GA association, that is slightly different type of a program. Archer is much smaller and lower capacity UAV. So Archer will not compete with this program. But of course, there is one more program mostly announced by ADE is Archer NG. So Archer NG as a program, definitely we would like to have a good share in that program. We may lead also that program, we don't know as of now. But that program is more or less competing with this male UAV program. As for public information available with us from the AD. But that question again you have to ask from DRDO or AD, what is Archer and what is Archer NG program. Based on our association, we are just sharing this input. And that program definitely will compete with this LNTGA association, or there are so many competing products for this male UAV, for which I think RFP also is issued now, or going to issue actually. They have indicated RFP will be issued mostly on next week. And in that RFP, we are also going to bid. That much is only I can tell you. But for that, we have to do so much of a strategic alignment, seeing, analyzing what is our strength, what is our other consortium partner strength, whether we should go for consortium or not. Those all things you will come to know maybe another 3 months timeline. And but I can assure you, definitely once we have decided that we are entering into this MCA or male UAV program in a big way, definitely we will put all our efforts to see that we provide a right solution for this program also.
That's good, sir. Sir, secondly, can you very broadly bifurcate your current order book of approximately 74,000 crores among land-based systems, naval systems, and airborne systems? Also, if you can give a sense on competition in each of these three domains, where the competitive landscape is intensifying, where are the areas where we can further garner some more market share? Also, areas where the indigenization is lagging vis-a-vis the other areas. This flavor will be very helpful.
Let me tell you, we are more or less equally distributed across Army, Navy and Air Force, whether it is our product segment, whether it is our order book. So more or less, we are equally spreaded across all the three segments. And we treat all the three segments more or less with similar eyes, because basic defense electronics components, systems, subsystems are more or less similar expertise. Although evaluations or selection, certification criterias are different for all the three. And that way only, like indigenization score also on land system is fastest, naval system is second, and then airborne system, it takes a bit more time to indigenize. So that is there. So each segment has its own small, small challenges, etc. But overall, for us, all the three segments, we are equally geared up. We have different, different SBUs focusing on these segments. Like our naval-related segments, there are 5-6 SBUs. We are specialized for handling naval customers. Same is for our army customers. Some of the SBUs are specialized for that. And for airborne also, we have 2-3 specific SBUs. We are more focused on Air Force as a customer. So as such, we give almost equal priority to all the three very, very important customers for us. And that is the uniqueness of Bell also, that because we know Army, Navy, Air Force, that's why the interoperability across them, or this theater command type of program where integration or jointness across all the three are required, or large C4I programs where expertise of all the three domains is very much essential, we are definitely a natural leader for that segment. And that way only we had decided, maybe 20, 30 years back only, that we should give equal opportunity, equal strengths and equal resources for all the three segments, because each segment is unique, but each segment has many commonalities as we see from our side.
Understood, sir. That is very useful. Thank you very much and all the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Rawat from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So extending the previous participant's question, what are projects that do we expect to execute in the second half of this current fiscal? I gather that you mentioned projects that we have executed, but what are the large projects that we are expecting to execute in the second half? Hello.
Hello, sir. Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Sorry. I was on mute. So I heard your question. So for the next half, We have 7 main programs which are there, and LRSAM is topping the list, followed by Himshakti, then Akash Army, then Arudra MPR radar, then D-29 EW system, then LRUs, avionics LRUs for LCA Mark 1A and electronic fuses. So these are the top 7 big projects which we are going to execute in H2.
Got it, sir. And sir, historically, for the naval platforms that have, gotten ordered, our share has been around, in terms of the electronic subsystems that go into it, anywhere around 20-25% of the overall cost. Do we see a similar order inflow coming in from the recently announced landing platform docks or the amphibious assault vehicles that the AON was recently granted for?
No, let me tell you frankly, because the naval corvettes or other type of strike ships, etc., and this docking platforms, there is a small difference in configuration. So large, complex, strategic electronic modules or systems, in that will be much less. So as such, for there are other so many other programs in pipeline where our share will be more, but for this program our electronic module share will be less.
Got it. So that's really helpful. One last clarification was with regards to what you said earlier. Could you please confirm whether, I think you said that in the AONs that were sort of announced, the last 3 AONs, which totaled roughly 1.7 trillion for the previous one, previous 2 ones, and the one that was quite recently announced, the 79,000 crore one, are addressable, or the order inflows, potential order inflows that could come to us would be around 50,000 crores, 40,000 crores from the previous 2 ones and the 10,000 crores from the recent. Would that be correct?
Yeah. Certainly, that is correct.
And
but
what
it
would
is
be
it
the
Yeah.
And lastly, the expected size of the GBMES project that was quite recently announced, what do you expect the size to be in terms of rupee value?
If I'm not wrong, it is a 1500 to 2000 crore, roughly.
Got it. That's really helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay.
All the best.
Thank you. We will take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. So, as we told and the way we have progressed through Q1 and of course through Q2, we are confident that whatsoever guidance which we had given at the year start, we are on the right track to meet those guidance. So I will again reiterate our commitment that our revenue growth, we are going to have 15% plus EBITDA margin, definitely 27%. Order inflow, as we committed, other than QRSAM, 27,000 crore. And including to QRSAM, it will be around 57,000 crore. R&D investments, more than 1,600 crore. CapEx, more than 1,000 crore. With a defense and non-defense business ratio of 90-10, which is our typical ratio. So this guidance, definitely we are going to achieve. That is our final comment for today.
On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Thank you all.